Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
So we're going to go back to our message, and this is, should be the last installment on the life of faith. Oh, you're glad about that too, huh? And we've been talking about the life of faith, and the idea that I'm trying to relate is that every arena of our life has to be transformed by the faith that is in our hearts through the life-giving Spirit of God, through the death, burial, and resurrection, as Pastor Woodley was saying, of Jesus Christ. Our life has to be affected by our spiritual life has to affect, and influence every area of our life. There cannot be an area in our lives that are not touched by the power of the Holy Spirit and brought under His control. Everybody say His control. See, a lot of times we want to get under the control of people, but we actually need to get under the control of the Holy Spirit. Because in the Bible says the Spirit is in the Spirit of the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom or liberty, depending on your translation. So He is the only one, as you were talking about, that brings liberty. I mean, like America has a slogan, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But that slogan is not true because, as you can see, that because men are fallible. Men are imperfect. And I don't want to really go here, but they said life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but at the same time, they had slavery. So it was only for certain groups until they finally were enlightened to see. And it wasn't like, oh, there are people too. They actually had to go through a civil war. Many people's properties were destroyed. And then they said, oh, by the way, you guys are free now. So it doesn't, people, even though we say the right things, we can't always back it up because we need God to bring truth and life to us and to help us to live in that truth and life. Amen? So today we want to talk about the last area, and that is the faith for financial provision. Everybody say financial. And again, this is an area that God has to sanctify. Everybody say sanctify. Sanctify means to set apart for His use. Financial ability has to be brought under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that's why God does and says and tells us to do so many things that in order to get those areas of our lives under His control. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the message tonight, this morning, or this afternoon, actually. Father, we thank You for the Word, because it's by Your Word that we know the truth. And Your Word says that if we know the truth will set us free. So, Lord, I pray for the truth to penetrate our hearts, our minds. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Help us to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. Thank You for this time in Your Word on this subject, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The first thing we want to look at is just some scriptures. So let's go to Annis, and this is a funny thing. This is how the Spirit coordinates everything. Annis, one of her memory verses was John, 3 John 2, which says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Most people have read that passage. Amen? Amen? Some people haven't, I guess. And a lot of people have a lot of the scholars say, well, that's not really a promise. That is a salutary greeting. How many have heard that? Nobody? You guys got to get to the theology people. They'll ruin your faith as quickly as you try to get it. But how many know that God does not put things in the Bible by accident? Even if that was a salutary greeting, it's for us. Amen? And I always love it how people try to discredit the truth of the scripture by trying to say, well, this is that and this is that. God, the Bible says that every word of the scriptures is God-breathed or God-directed. And I'm paraphrasing. I think it's, what, 1st or 2nd Timothy? And it's given to us for our edification, our instruction, and our comfort. So even if I was looking at 3 John verse 2, and 3 John is such a short book, there's not much in there but a greeting and a salute at the end. I mean, he says a few things, but for the most part, it's just that a short book. So we have to remember that the scriptures are what they are, and we understand them as what they are given, and we don't need people to unspiritualize or unwordize, if that is a phrase, the scriptures, because that helps the enemy take us not out of an arena that God wants to take us into. In other words, if we don't know that God wants us to prosper and be in health as our soul prospers, then we will have a confused mind or understanding about what financial increase has to do with our spiritual walk. Notice in that passage, he says, "Beloved, I wish above all things," and I'm quoting the old King James Version, "that you would prosper and be in health," but he puts a condition on it. What does he say? "Even as your soul prospers." And that, my friends, is consistent with the passage that we know is a scripture, which says Jesus gave us in Matthew 6:33. What's Matthew 6:33 say? And his righteousness, and what happens? All these things, material stuff, shall be added unto you. Now, are those not consistent with each other? Seek first the kingdom of God. I wish above all things you're prospering and be in health, just as your soul prospers. God's priority is that your life with him prosper or thrive or grow or expand, and all that other stuff will come along with the life that you have in him. Amen? Because the price that you pay to have a life with God far exceeds any material gain that you will get from your life with him. Peter said it this way. Jesus said, unless you leave father, mother, son, brother, and sister, you can't be my disciple. And Peter jumped up and said, hey, Lord, we've left everything. What's going to happen to us? He wanted to know and then Jesus names what's going to happen to them. He says, you're going to get family back. You're going to get property back. Not only, he said, and he didn't say it in heaven. He said, in this life and in the life to come, eternal life. So God has made provision for us to prosper on earth. Now, the question is always, well, what does prosper mean? And the answer of that question is, how far do you want that to go in your life? Prosper means or allows you to do or to believe whatever you have the faith or capacity to believe. There's a business person that goes out, starts a business. They hire 10, 15, 20 people. They make $3, $4, $5, $6, $7, $8, $9, $10 million a week. Which is $40 million a month, $480 million a year. But a lot of it has to do with paying employees, taking care of the things that you have to take care of. That's prosperity to him, $480 million. Somebody just needs to pay their bills, to make sure they have savings, to make sure their kids can go to school. And that only means $50,000 for them. Prosperity to them is $50,000. Are you with me here? So the capacity to prosper, God does not put a number on it, nor does he say that you have to be this spiritual person to get it. All you have to do is walk with him, and he has promised to provide for you. Amen. Our provision is not in our ability. It's in God's provision. God has provided for us. Let's look at Philippians 4:19. And again, these are passages that are not unfamiliar. Most of us have memorized most of these passages. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God," everybody say, "my God." So that implies what? A relationship. Okay? So everything God does is relationship centered. It's not, I heard that if I pray to God, he'll give me stuff. That's not the God we serve. That's the genie created by somebody in their own imagination. You guys remember the show I Dream of Jeannie? Remember that? He could ask for anything and she would give it to him. Right? Remember that? She could pop up anything, a car, a house, put him on the beach somewhere. You know, of course, but the scripture says that's witchcraft. That kind of belief system is witchcraft. I know we don't say stuff like witchcraft in the church anymore because we're afraid of witchcraft. But how many know witchcraft? There's nothing, we don't need to be afraid of it when we're walking in the Spirit, because there's nothing that can harm us as we walk in the Spirit. And it goes on to say, "And my God shall supply all your need." Everybody say your need. "According to whose riches? His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Notice he does not limit his provision to our ability. And that's the key. We're not bound by our ability. We get to tap into his provision because he has greater provision than we have. No matter, Bill Gates has the most money in the world according to the statistics, but God far surpasses Bill Gates in provision. Amen? And God can meet all of our needs, all of the needs of the planet. And you know this, let me just say this, because a lot of people don't believe this. There is enough in the earth to provide everybody in the earth with not only enough to eat, but enough to take care of their family. There is enough provision in the earth. The problem is what? People are selfish. I mean, in most third world countries, it's not that they don't have the resources, it's the resources are in the wrong hands. And the people are hoarding, the leaders are hoarding. I mean, you've read so many times, you've read all these foreign countries that are just dirt poor, and you read their president has a Swiss bank account with billions of dollars in it, most of which is aid sent from other countries that they decided they were going to keep and not give to anybody else. Amen? So we have to understand that provision has been made by God for everybody. The question is, do we believe that he cares enough about us to meet our personal needs? Amen? And we have to believe that God will meet our need according to his riches and glory. Everybody say, God will meet my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, we have to personalize this. Otherwise, it becomes a general promise. In other words, if I can say, well, he'll meet Pastor Woodley's needs, he'll meet Brother Daryl's needs, but I'm not sure he cares enough about me to meet my needs. And a lot of people say stuff like that. How many have heard people say that? I'm not sure God, I'm not good enough for God to do. Well, if you don't think you're good enough, repent and get good enough, because that's all it takes to be good enough. Amen. It's not that we have to do any special things. The scripture just says, repent and you're in good standing or right standing with God. There's no secret to that. Oh, I'm not good enough. What have you done? Well, I've been doing this. I've been doing that. Okay, let's repent right now. let's repent from doing that. Let's repent for doing this. Let's repent. And now you're good enough, because he's the one that makes us worthy. We don't earn it. Amen? We can't walk into his kingdom and say, God, I've been so good, I want my check. I want my check. I bet you saw my life. You see my life. I want my check. Pay me. I'm a good guy. I've done what you told. No, God, those are the people that God says, son, you get out of the line because you haven't gotten it yet. What? That's not fair. I've been doing. No, see, it's not about you. It's about him. Amen. It's about his goodness on us and not our goodness in front of him. And the world is constantly trying to be good to earn God's approval when you can't earn his approval. You have to receive it through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. No matter how many ways they try to make out, there is only one way. Amen. Matthew chapter, let's see, what do we got here? Let's go to Matthew 14, 13 through 21. It says here, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only five loaves and two fish. Bring them here to me. Then everybody knows what happened. He took five loaves, two fish, and fed 5,000 people, plus women and children. So we really don't know how many people were there, but we know that it was at least 5,000 men. And he fed five feet. People read that scripture and say, that's impossible. That's impossible. Not only did he feed them, he had leftovers. And people read that, that's impossible. That's the God we serve. The God of the impossible. And I use this and I read this passage because the five loaves and the two fish are our resources in some cases in perspective or in relationship to the need that we're facing. God, my bill is 10,000 and I have 1,500. What is that amongst all these other bills? And God sits down and he multiplies, or he changes, or he increases, or he gives you favor. When you put it in his hands, he can multiply things. Amen? And that is something that we have to learn to do and trust God for, even though we don't understand it. And this is why most people can't get with the Bible, because when you read this, Jesus fed 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish. He says, that has to be a fairy tale. That has to be. I remember I told you guys this. I was listening to the radio and a guy was talking about Jesus changing water into wine. He says, do you realize the molecular transformation that would have to happen for that to happen? That's not possible. No, with men it's not possible, but with God, all things are possible. And if they would just get the blinders off their eyes, they would see that God is not bound by molecular structures. He changes molecular structures to fit his plan. And that's what God does for us. Little old us. Everybody say, for me. He cares so much about us, he will do anything he needs to do to fulfill his word so that the promise that he promises us will come to pass. Amen? Amen. But see, many times we're so afraid to just ask him for stuff. Ask him, facing situations. Man, I learned when I started my own business, my own practice, I learned that you really do have to pray for God to open up doors for you. Because, you know, first of all, you know, I've grew up in Seattle. But, you know, how many know you're usually when, you know, I was, what, 20, was it, 20? I graduated from law school, I was 26. I started practicing, I was 28. There's not a lot of 28-year-olds that want legal services. Most of the ones, unless they're, you know, in trouble or something, you know. Not a lot that can afford to pay you your fee. So you have to go beyond your own friend circle. You start in your friend circle, but it has to go beyond that if you want to prosper and survive. Yes. Amen? Am I right about small people that are in business? And you don't know the people that you're going to have to come in contact with. So you have to ask God to give you favor, open up doors, provide opportunities, whatever it takes, Lord, but get me in front of the people that I need to get in contact with so that I can make a living for the, at that time, 4 children and a wife that I was supporting. That took faith in God because I didn't have anything. You know, we tried to buy a house one time, and the first time we bought our house, I was still in school, and we didn't have a down payment, but we were just bold enough to believe that God would make a way somehow. This is when property was still pretty cheap. Now, this is, what, 86, 80s? You know, property didn't go up until, like, the late 80s, right? So we found a house, and my mom was a real estate agent, and she says, well, I can take my, you know, commission and help you guys with the down payment. Well, you know, you would kind of expect that from your mom, right? I mean, well, I know, maybe I shouldn't say it that way, but you know what I mean? You expect your parents to help you. But her friend, who I did not even really know, said, I'll give you the down payment. And you just pay me monthly off the down payment. I didn't even know this lady. I met her, but she didn't know me that well. She knew my mom, but she didn't know me. And God opened the door for us to get, you know, at that time we only had 2 sons, Marquise and Michael. And God gave us the little house on Norfolk Avenue. It was a 2-bedroom house. Oh, actually, had another room over the garage. And we were so happy we couldn't contain ourselves. Because God had made a way for us to get a house, and I was still in school. I, at that time, was working 2 jobs just to make things work then. But then I found that when we got in that house, that was just a little bit more than the rent we were paying. So I'm saying to say it's not about our ability. It's about what God will open and give you favor in. Amen? And see, we have to take the limits off God. And believe that, and I'm not saying be foolish, but trust God to do beyond what you're able to do. I'll give you another story. This happened just 2 weeks ago. I was, the Bar Association had contacted me and told me I was doing something wrong. And you never want to hear that from the Bar Association. You never want to hear that. But it wasn't something that I was doing intentionally. He said, well, I don't want to get into the details, but the bottom line was, the insurance companies pay a bill, and I can take a fee out of what I collect for them. But the fee is capped at what I get from my client, okay? Well, I had actually gone over that fee in the situation with this one case. And the guy was still my client. So we were getting ready to settle his second case, and it was a pretty decent-sized settlement. And I was praying, and you know, and the Spirit told me, he says, you need to give him back the money you overcharged him. Now, this is like 5 months ago. I said, whoa, whoa, Lord, whoa. Can I just make it up the next time? You know how we start talking? And I says, okay, well, and then I got my calculator out to figure out how much that would be. And guess how much it was? It's like $7,500. I said, Lord. Yeah, then I went and talked to Annis. I shared it with her. I said, babe, I said, I don't know how to say this. I said, because in the short run, it's going to hurt. I said, but in the long run, it's going to be for our benefit. I said, now, I don't know that for a fact, but I know God. Are you with me here? And so I was telling her about it, and she knows, we know this person, and they says, well, you know, I don't think you should give him all that extra money because you know he's just going to waste it. I said, see, I already practiced that line. And God told me, that's not your business, what he does with his money. Right. Am I right? I mean, I want to help him not waste his money, but that's not my business. If he tells me, Harold, don't ever tell me what to do with my money, what can I do? What can I do? So I struggled with it, but then I resolved in my heart, we're going to do it. We're just going to do it. And we did it. That means my fee was reduced by $7,500. And we had already, before we reduced this fee, we had already mapped out what we were going to use the money for, you know, catch up on stuff, pay this, pay that, you know, get this fixed, get that fixed. And now we're $7,500 less than what we had. But I said, well, we'll still, God will work it out. And then I told him that I was going to do this. And then he got accusational against me. He said, yeah, I thought you were charged. I said, no, that's not why I'm doing this, because I charged you wrong. The bar told me you would not have known this had I not told you today. Okay? There's no way you could have known what happened. I says, I'm doing this because God quickened me to do this. And, you know, whatever he thought, I can't control that either. But after I did that, my point is this. God controls my financial situation regardless. Even though it didn't happen the way I thought it should have happened, and it was something that I would not have done normally, God made a way and everything worked out. And we're still working on everything that he's given us. But God is faithful. But my point is, we have to be willing to submit our financial affairs to the Holy Spirit and allow him to tell us, Harold, you need to give him that money back. Because I was like, and then I started to say, well, Lord, what about the other cases? I'm not talking about those. You know, we always try to get God on all the other stuff. What about others? I'm not talking to you about that other stuff, because that cannot be rectified. This can be. See that? I can't go back and figure out what the numbers were, because I usually cut my fee anyway, because I always like to make people get more than I get. But anyway, that's another story. So in the long run, in the short run, I know the important thing is obedience. And it's obedience when it comes to financial situations. And that is the key to every financial issue. Is God still God over financial issues? And if he's God, then there's no reason for me to worry. Amen? If I don't have enough to make my mortgage today and it's due in 10 days, I don't have to worry because God still has 10 days to get that to me. That's what, you know, people call you on the phone. I stop taking most calls because they just ruin your faith anyway. But when they call you, start asking, well, when are you going to pay this? I don't know. How come you don't know? Because I don't. Well, when will you know? Any day now. And they, you know, they don't like that. They don't, well, we'll just have to do. I said, look, I'm not trying to be mean or disrespectful. I don't have an answer. And no, I'm not going to borrow it from my family. No, I'm not going to take somebody else's credit card and pay you, because then I'll be in the same situation with the credit card I just borrowed from. So I'm not going to do that. And I can't tell them I'm going to trust God and see what he does. I say that in my own heart. I'm trusting God and see what he's done. And the thing about it is, I've been practicing now for 23 years, and he always comes through. Even if that means he moves deadlines. You know how those deadlines that all of a sudden change? Well, you know, Mr. Franklin, we were going to need it by this date, but I talked to my manager and it's been changed for another 2 weeks. Well, God's got two more weeks. Because there's nothing I can do. Are you with me here? The point is, everything when it comes to our faith walk with God, everything has to be by faith, which means by trust, by acknowledgement that he's the ruler, he's the leader, he's the director. I'm just the part playing the part that he's called me to play. But he is the director. Amen. And it's so difficult for us because when we walk out of death into life, we are the directors of our lives. Even though our plays are not very good, we were the directors. Are you getting me here, the analogy? And we have to learn to get out of the way and allow God to do that. And unfortunately, especially even in the church, church folks do not want God controlling their money. They don't want to pay tithes. They don't want to give offerings. You know, there's more, you know, like I told you, and I don't know if I've said this lately, but the whole church, the church universal, 8 to 12% of the whole church pays tithes. 8 to 12%. That means 88 to 92% of the people don't pay tithes. That does not mean they're not giving. That just means they're not paying 10% of their income. I didn't want to be in that 90, 80%. I wanted to be in the 8 to 12. And I want to be in the top 10, in other words. Because I believe that God will bless you as you are faithful in what he tells you to do. I remember what Daryl said in our Bible study, and I hope you don't mind us sharing this. He said, you know, you people always say, well, do I have to tithe? But he said it this way. No, you get to tithe. You get to tithe because you get a promise with the tithe. I mean, can you beat this? God says, give, but I'll give it back to you. Pay your tithes and I'll open up the windows of heaven for you. I'll rebuke devourers on your behalf. I'll turn things around that you never could turn around. But we get to, and we always look at it as a have to. When all we should understand is that we get to be in his family. I don't have to be. I get to be. And I want to be. Amen? I want to do what God wants me to do. I mean, who wants to walk around being a rebellious child all the time? I mean, when I was a kid, I didn't want to be rebellious. When my mom and dad got divorced, I said it in my own heart. I said, man, I'm not going to be a problem to my mom. She got enough problems. I had four siblings. Three of them lost their mind after my dad left. like they had never had a father before. And I saw that and I said, you know, I'm not falling in that line. I said, even that means I have to stay home. I'm going to do something else. And I wasn't even saved then. And God, I think it was the beginning of God transforming me, because this was like I was 15 or 16 years old. And I was terrified of going to jail. So I said, I'm not going to jail. I'm not going that route. My dad told me one time, and I'm going to close. We'll pick this up later. My dad told me he went to Walla Walla Penitentiary over, you know, this is the highest maximum security prison in the state of Washington. And all he had to tell me is this. He said, you don't want to go there. And I didn't say, oh, my dad don't know what he's talking about. I got to go see that myself. I said, I'm glad you told me. So if you say I don't want to go there, I don't want to go there. And guess what? I haven't been there and don't plan to go there. The only time I go to prison is when they give me the key, which means I get to come out when I want to. I don't go to jail. My clients I visit, but I get to leave. Amen? So when you trust God, he makes a way for you when you can't even understand how you got out of a situation. And that's the glory of God. That's the magnificence of God. We can't even imagine what God will do until we allow him to do it. Amen? And as long as we always capping him, and the children of Israel said this, God said this about the children of Israel, they grieved me because they limited me. I mean, come on, how do you limit God, the unlimited one, by not believing? Amen? So when it comes to finances, we want to believe that it's not our ability, but it's his. Amen? Let's stand. Let's go home. And we want to pray. If you have any prayer requests, I know we offered this, but we want to pray for you anyway. So generally, we're going to pray. If you have some specific requests, we'll be glad to touch and agree with you and believe that God will do great things in your life. Thanks so much for coming. And we just appreciate you guys. I hope you got something out of the message. I hope that God is speaking. And see, this is the great thing about the Holy Spirit. He will continue to speak to you about this subject. Amen. Long after you walk out of this door, he's going to deal with you. So have the ears to hear what he's saying. Amen. Because he wants to be the director in this area. So he's going to begin to orchestrate to get that direction. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are not limited unless we limit you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to take the limits off of you. Help us not to be in the category of the children of Israel who grieved you because they limited you. Help us to take the limits off, to know that you can do all things and nothing is impossible for you. And Father, I pray for the needs of the people that are here. Lord, there's some that need touch in their families. There's some that need touch in their bodies. There's some that need touch in their minds and their homes, on their jobs. Father, I pray that you would be the ruler over these areas. Some of them need a financial miracle in their lives. And I pray that you would be the answer to that financial situation. Open a door that they never thought was going to open, so that they can see that you are the God that works in the affairs of people. Thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for continuing to speak to our hearts on this issue. And we just thank you for all those that are here under the sound of our voice. Bless them, be with us, cause your face to shine upon us, and let us and be gracious unto us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our healer, our deliverer and our King. Everybody said, amen and amen. There's refreshments out there, so have at it. Enjoy yourself, and God bless you, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.